content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, friends. This is Larry Wilson for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's program is supported by Coastal Credit Union Foundation. For more information on the Coastal Credit Union Foundation, you can find it at coastal24.com/foundation. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you articles of interest from Money.com and also from Kiplinger Personal Finance. Our first article is from Kiplinger Personal Finance. How long should you keep tax records? This article by Kate Schubel. There's been a lot of talk about federal tax in the news lately, especially since tax season 2026 is officially underway. And yes, filing taxes is still mandatory for many. But you may not want to hold off on shredding your tax. You may want to hold off, on shredding your tax records even after tax day. That is because those forms, receipts, canceled checks, and other documents could be needed later. While the IRS may be undergoing changes, the tax agency generally has 3 years after the due date of your return, or the date you file it, if later, to initiate an audit. That hasn't changed. Plus, some documents may be kept even longer. For instance, it might be wise to save W-2 forms until you start receiving Social Security benefits so you can verify your income if there's a problem. Here's some information on how long you should keep certain common tax records and documents. For 1 year, tax records to keep for 1 year include pay stubs, at least until you check them against your W-2s. If all the totals match, you can then shred the pay stubs. Take a similar approach with monthly mortgage statements and brokerage statements. You can generally dispose of these statements if they match up with your year-end statements and your 1099s. And 3 years. Why should you keep your filed taxes for 3 years? Generally speaking, you should save documents that support any income and tax deductions and credits claimed on your tax return for at least 3 years after the tax filing deadline. This includes saving your W-2 forms, which report your income, 1099 forms showing income, capital gains, dividends, and interest on investments, 1098 forms if you claim the mortgage interest deduction, canceled checks and receipts for charitable contributions if you itemize deductions, records showing eligible expenses for withdrawals from health savings accounts and 529 college savings plans, and records showing contributions to a tax-deductible retirement savings plan, such as a traditional IRA. If, like most people, you don't itemize deductions on Schedule A, you might not need to save as many documents. For example, if you are not deducting charitable contributions, then you don't need to keep donation receipts or canceled checks for tax purposes. And investment tax records. When it comes to investments, you will need to save some records for at least 3 years after you sell. For instance, you should keep records of contributions to a Roth IRA for 3 years after the account is emptied. You will need these records to show that you already paid taxes on the contributions and shouldn't be taxed on them again when the money is withdrawn. You should also keep investing records showing purchases in a taxable account, such as transaction records for stock, bond, mutual fund, and other investment purchases for up to 3 years after you sell the investments. And report the purchase date and price when you file your taxes for the year they're sold to establish your cost basis. That's the original price you paid plus other costs to acquire the security. which will then determine your taxable gains or losses when you sell the investment. Even if your broker is required to report the cost basis, it is a good idea to keep copies of these records yourself. If you inherit stocks or funds, keep records of the value on the day the original owner died to help calculate the basis when you sell the investment. And tax records for property. If you inherit property or receive it as a gift, make sure you keep documents and records for at least 3 years after you dispose of the property. Income from selling property is considered taxable if sold for more than your basis in the property. The basis of inherited property is generally the property's fair market value on the date of the descendant's death. For gifted property, the basis is generally the same as the donor's, usually the fair market value when you receive the gift. And keep home sale and improvement receipts and documents for 3 years after you've sold the home. Most people don't have to pay capital gain tax on home sale profits. Single filers with $250,000 or less in gains don't need to pay capital gains tax. Joint filers with $500,000 or less in gains don't need to pay capital gains tax. And regardless of the amount, filers must have lived in the residence for 2 of the 5 years prior to the sale to avoid capital gains tax. But if you sell the house before then, or if your gains are larger, you will need to have your home purchase records. Save receipts for home improvements, too. They can increase your adjusted basis. Again, that's the cost of acquiring the home, plus cost of improvements, less casualty losses, which can help reduce your tax liability. Similar rules may apply to any rental property you own. And save records for at least 3 years after selling the property. And for 6 years. Why should you keep your taxes for 6 years? The IRS has up to 6 years to initiate an audit if you've neglected to report at least 25% of your income. For self-employed people who may receive multiple 1099s, it isn't difficult to overlook reporting some income. To be on the safe side, you should generally keep your 1099s, receipts, and other records of business expenses for at least 6 years. If you don't report $5,000 or more of income attributable to foreign financial assets, the IRS has 6 years from the date you file the return to assess tax on that income. So save any tax records related to such income until the 6-year window is closed. And 7 years. Tax records to keep for those 7 years. Sometimes your stock picks don't turn out so well. Or maybe you loan money to someone who doesn't pay you back. If that's the case, you might be able to write off your worthless securities or those bad debts. But make sure you keep related records and documents for at least 7 years. That's how much time you have to claim a bad debt deduction or a loss from worthless securities. Note, loaning money is considered a gift if you knew the person may not pay you back. Gifts are not tax deductible, so you can't write off these as bad debts. And tax records to keep for 10 years. If you paid taxes to a foreign government, you may be entitled to a credit or deduction on your U.S. tax return. You'll typically have up to 10 years to claim the foreign tax credit, so you should have saved any tax records or documents related to foreign taxes paid for at least 10 years. And indefinitely, tax records to keep indefinitely. Some tax and even non-tax documents you should keep indefinitely. Here are a few examples. copies of the tax return itself, birth certificates, marriage license or divorce papers, Social Security cards. Keeping these records in a fire and water-safe box can help you recover your tax documents should a natural disaster occur and you're audited by the IRS. Also, you may want to consider digitizing your tax records as a backup so you may access those important papers anytime as well. And other considerations, state tax records. Don't forget to check your state's tax record retention recommendations, too. The tax agency in your state might have more time to audit your state tax return than the IRS has to audit your federal return. For instance, the California Franchise Tax Board has up to 4 years to audit state income tax returns. So California residents should save related tax records for at least that long. And what to do if your W-2 or 1099 is lost, is incorrect, or accidentally thrown away? You may have realized you accidentally threw your W-2 or 1099, discovered you never received one, or that the information listed is incorrect. So, what do you do? For starters, obtain another copy of your W-2 or 1099 by contacting the issuer. If you have trouble obtaining one, here are some additional steps you can take. Contact the IRS for assistance at 800-829-1040. They will ask you for your contact information, Social Security number, and dates of employment. The agency will also ask for your employer's or payer's contact information. If you don't have time to call the IRS before the filing deadline, you can use Form 4852 or Form 1099-R to estimate your wages or earnings and file your taxes even if your form is missing or incorrect. If you receive the missing form after you file, and the amount listed differs from Form 4852 or the Form 1099-R, you must file an amended tax return. You can do so by filing Form 1040-X, Amended U.S. Individual Income Tax Return. Federal tax amendments can be filed by mail or electronically. It's important to file the amendment as soon as possible to reflect the most accurate tax withholdings. Well, let's move from taxes to how you can save some money on your homeowner's insurance. This article in Money.com is titled 10 Home Upgrades That Can Lower Your Interest Bill. This article by Paul Reynolds. With the cost of homeowner insurance rising in recent years, it's smart to seek out ways to lower your premiums, including ways to change your property to reduce the likelihood or size of a claim on your policy. If you're willing to make some investments in your home, there can be ways to improve your house and save money on homeowner's insurance in the bargain. These are the top home upgrades that can produce cost savings on your insurance policy. We've divided the list into 7 that should lower your bill more immediately and 3 others that might do so in the longer term. We've also added typical costs for these improvements, since in all cases you need to invest upfront in order to enjoy subsequent insurance savings. And at the top of the list, number 1, is a home security system. If you have a monitored home security system, you may qualify for a discount on your premiums. The discount amount varies by insurer, but many companies offer a discount between 2% and 15%. According to Policy Genius, homeowners who installed security systems saved an average of $100 per month on their insurance. And the cost to do so? $150 and up for many systems, plus fees for service that start at about $25 a month for monitoring. And number two, impact-resistant roof. A number of windstorm loss mitigation measures, beginning with a wind-resistant roof, can both protect your home and reduce your insurance premiums. Depending on where you live and the age of your current roof, installing a new one that meets state wind mitigation standards could allow you to qualify for a discount on your insurance. For example, in Florida, state law requires insurers to provide homeowners with a discount for protecting their homes with approved wind mitigation measures, such as switching to a different roof shape or changing the shingles. Other features to make your roof more resistant to wind include hurricane clips or straps that hold the roof to the walls. Although the discount varies by state and insurer, having roof work done could save as much as 15% on home insurance cost. And the cost to do so, about $2,000 and up for a 2,000-square-foot home, but the cost could easily go far higher. Number three, impact-resistant glass. Glass that remains intact in bad weather can mitigate cost, not only by minimizing window replacement, but interior damage from wind and rain entering the home. If you live in an area prone to wind or hurricane damage, installing impact windows can help you save money, typically on the windstorm component of your policy. In some counties and states, insurers give substantial discounts for impact-resistant windows, as well as related features such as impact-resistant doors, especially the one in the garage. And that cost could be about $300 and up. That's per window. Number four, updated electrical system. If you have an older home, updating your wiring and electrical systems can produce substantial savings. Not only will it improve the efficiency of your home, but updated wiring lowers the risk of fire damage. So some insurers will give you a discount on your homeowner's insurance premium by doing so. And the cost, $10,000 to $30,000, is typical for upgrading the entire system in a home. Number five, updated plumbing. Older homes may have faulty or leaky pipes, old septic systems, or outdated hot water heaters. These issues put you at risk of significant and costly water damage. Updating your plumbing and replacing old pipes can help you save money. And the cost to do so? At least $1,500 for extensive plumbing improvements. And a whole house upgrade could easily run to five figures. Number six, energy efficient features. With many companies focusing on green initiatives, some insurers give incentives for homeowners to make their homes more energy efficient by offering discounts for green homes. Discounts vary by insurer, but you generally need to meet green home standards set by the Leadership Energy and Environmental Design, known as LEED, organization. Insurers may reduce your premiums by as much as 5%. And the cost? The average tab for upgrading the insulation in your home is $1,268, according to the New York State Energy Research and Development Authority. But the bills can easily run into the thousands if the home's windows are replaced or for comprehensive re-insulation. And number seven, retrofitting. If you live in an area prone to earthquakes, cementitious retrofitting, a process of updating a home to strengthen it and make it more likely to withstand a hurricane, can produce substantial savings. For example, California homeowners can save as much as 25% on their homeowners' insurance premiums. And the cost can run between $3,000 and $7,000 for a standard size home, according to the California Residential Mitigation Program. And here are three indirect updates that can save you money. Not all updates will immediately produce a discount. However, there are some updates or improvements you can make that can help you save money over the long run. Number one, motion detection lights. While insurers may not offer a discount for installing motion detection lights, unless they're considered part of a monitored security system, lights activated by motion sensors can be a powerful theft deterrent. Burglars tend to target homes that aren't well lit, so your home is less likely to be selected if it lights up as it's approached. That can reduce your risk of a break-in, and so also having to file a claim. Typical cost, about $350 to $500, according to FixR.com. Number two, landscaping. Updating your landscaping by trimming large trees, cutting back hedges or bushes, and replacing dead plants can help you save money in two major ways. First, reducing the risk of theft. Burglars often look for homes with limited visibility. Homes with lots of shrubbery, trees, or hedges have more hiding places, so they're more likely to be targeted. By trimming your landscaping, you improve the visibility of your home and make it less likely to be targeted. And number two, reducing the risk of damage. By trimming trees and ripping out dead plants, you reduce the risk of tree branches falling into your home or a fire starting near it. You're less likely to have to file a claim for property damage, helping you save money over time. And the cost to do so, about $3,500 on average, according to home improvement site Angie, but with a typical range of about $1,250 to $6,500. And lastly, number three, maintaining HVAC systems. Maintaining or replacing your heating and air conditioning systems can help lower your energy cost, but it also can prevent any issues from becoming serious problems. Dirty or malfunctioning HVAC systems can cause fires or leaks and cause substantial damage. So catching those systems early will help you save money over the long run. And talk to your insurance agent or contact several insurers to discuss what insurance discounts you may qualify for as a homeowner in your state. You may be able to reduce your premiums based on your home's latest renovations or by other means, such as building your homeowner's coverage and bundling your coverage with a automobile policy. And the cost, about $7,500, is typical to replace a full HVAC system, according to home improvement site Angie, with replacement of only a furnace or AC system costing between about $2,000 and $6,000. And as we wrap up our episode today, our last article, Why Paying Off Your Mortgage Early Might Be a Mistake. This article appeared in Money.com. A home may be the largest purchase you ever make, so it's understandable if you're excited to pay off your mortgage and make that home fully yours, but rushing out of mortgage debt early isn't the right move for everyone. The peace of mind and interest you'll save on from paying off your mortgage should certainly be considered. But take into account the downsides of making early mortgage payments as well. Four reasons paying off your mortgage early may cost you. Whether or not you should pay off your mortgage early will depend on your specific financial situation. So consider discussing your options with a financial advisor. But here are four scenarios in which it may make more sense to stick to your current repayment plan. Number one, potential missed investment returns. Sometimes your money can go further in the stock market. The average annual stock market return per the S&P 500 index is around 10% over the long run. Consider your mortgage interest rate and whether making extra mortgage payments means missing out on high potential returns. And number two, higher taxable income. You can deduct mortgage interest payments from your taxes as long as you itemize your deductions. That means paying off your home could increase your taxable income, depending on your situation. Number three, reduced liquidity for emergencies. Making multiple or higher mortgage payments each month reduces your available cash. If there's an emergency and you've used excess cash to pay off your home, you've increased the chances of having to sell stocks or take out a personal loan to cover the cost. And number four, prepayment penalties. Some lenders charge a fee for paying off some or all of your mortgage early. When paying your mortgage off early makes sense. As with most financial decisions, you have to weigh the pros and cons. For some people, the peace of mind is worth paying off the mortgage early. Plus, everyone has a high enough risk tolerance to leave money in the stock market. Not everyone has a high enough tolerance to leave money in the stock market and let it stay the course during market corrections. It's probably better to pay off a mortgage early than to store money in a bank account with little to no interest. You'll also save on interest if you pay off your mortgage early and be able to build up equity in your home faster. That will come in handy if you want to borrow against your home later in life. People who are approaching retirement may also want to get rid of their mortgage, especially if it's their largest expense. And the balanced strategy. Some people take a hybrid approach. Instead of putting all of their extra cash into the mortgage or stocks, homeowners can split excess funds between paying down their mortgage principal and investing in stocks so that their money is growing for their future while they're also chipping away at their debt. Zero debt is a great goal, but you likely shouldn't pursue it at the cost of financial flexibility. Financial advisors recommend having some money on the sidelines for emergencies, while also investing in assets that can produce long-term wealth. As always, diversification is key. You don't want to have all your money tied up in real estate, the stock market, or another asset. And we are out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. We hope you enjoyed listening. Please join us again next time. On behalf of the North Carolina Reading Service, this is Larry Wilson. Today's episode of Money Matters is supported by Coastal Credit Union Foundation. For more information on the Coastal Credit Union Foundation, you can find it at coastal24.com/foundation. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Money Matters is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please give us a call, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.